watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jern-Harris Stadium time is 8:04 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, or Son of Crow on Venmo. You can call me Drew, you can call me Crow, you can call me whatever you want. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett. Ryan, come in.
I'm here.
To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a man of taste, a man with 1,000 generations flowing in his blood, the AU Chief. Come in, AU Chief, over.
And from Fort Payne, Alabama, Merry Christmas.
Let me tell you.
Nine.
The best thing that the new trilogy did was make Luke Skywalker look more like a person you might see in Fort Payne, Alabama.
Somehow in the afterlife, he gained a beer gut.
Got a beer gut, got some long hair and a beard.
It's on all that dinosaur milk.
Yeah, he quit Jedi play and started doing a little bit of roadie for Skinner.
Alternatively, Mark Hamill told them to go F themselves when they asked him to get in shape after having him get in shape to, one, not be in a movie, and two, be in a movie that he vehemently disagreed with his portrayal in. And they were like, oh, okay. So,
have you seen the Pakistani guy? I can't remember what his name is. Who was in Silicon Valley. Kumail Nanjiani. He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And he's now been cast in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, he's in The Eternals.
Eternals.
You seen the picture of him that came out? Of him, he's just like ripped, he's shredded up. Like he went from being like this normal-looking dude, and now he is literally just like shredded. Like P90X, Tony shredded.
I have not seen that.
I have seen that. It's pretty good.
You should Google it, Chief. Kumail Nanjiani, shredded. Yeah, it's a good one. Basically, the way to get in shape is to be cast in a Marvel movie and have Disney throw millions and millions your way.
Yeah, right. Get you your own personal trainer.
Yeah. I would have made it to the league if I had a personal trainer.
Yeah, me too. And, a few more, some bone-breaking surgeries to make me taller.
Right. All right, so let's get into it. Because we don't have a long one. This is a short holiday episode. We hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. We truly wish you have a Happy New Year and Happy Holidays. If you don't do Christmas or something else is your thing, we hope you had a Happy Merry one of that. But we're going to do – Auburn basketball continues to roll on.
Yeah. Roll on highway. Roll on long.
Yeah. Like an 18-wheeler.
Yes. Sorry to continue with our theme. Yeah, Auburn basketball has been great.
Ryan?
Undefeated. Let me talk.
I like about this Auburn team is they've won games in a bunch of different ways already. I think we talked about that. Like, it's kind of like you don't know whose game it's going to be tonight.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of close games. There's been a couple blowouts. I mean, they're a couple games where we've come from behind, a couple games where we've blown leads. I mean, everybody's had a big game. We've played every type of game, I think, that we can. It should be a pretty good experience going into conference play.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I started out with basketball, but I see in the show notes now we're supposed to start with football.
Let's do a bad preview episode.
Yeah. Let's quickly run through basketball, and then we'll do some football.
All right.
Since the last episode, we beat NC State, which was probably the biggest win of the season.
Definitely.
Looked really good at times in that game, I thought. Beat Lehigh, 74-51, and beat Lipscomb. A sound beating of Lipscomb, 86-59. That game was way less close than that score.
It's a sound beating, but no instruments.
No instruments, that's right. No instruments from Lipscomb.
I mean, the band was not there.
Oh, what an... come on, guys. Get it together. Lipscomb,
do they have a band?
No, our band should have been there. Our band was not there.
Oh, our band wasn't there.
The Pet our band's in Tampa.
They should have been at the basketball game. Are we a basketball school or are we not? That's the question.
Or apparently like we're an Outback school.
Yeah, we're Bloomin' Onion school. I like how you have here, we can talk about me as being a celebrity, and I'm going to say thanks to Chief for that, for the assist.
Well, whatever.
My question about that
one
was,
game I've missed this year.
Why? Because thanks to Ryan for the tickets. When I got back into the seat after being celebrity in, Sarah's first question to me was, who would it have been if it wasn't you? And I didn't have an answer for it. Because if it was me, it means that, like, it really means they didn't have anybody else on the...
Well, to give me an idea, it was Aubie for Lipscomb. So
yeah.
I think usually it's Aubie if they don't have anybody else.
They shouldn't do it every week.
Well, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing now. I've never seen Aubie two games in a row, and I'm not sure if I've seen Aubie twice in one season. So there's usually somebody there.
Okay. Some former player player in the crowd.
They've pulled up current players before and stuff like that. So, it would have been somebody.
That's Stranahan's Diamond Peak tonight. That's a free plug.
Yeah? What's that?
It's a single malt, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Undefeated in non-conference. To be celebrity in was a huge, crazy thing.
It was cool.
Did they play We've Got Jared in this area? Oh, come on, guys.
They played Sansa. Which I wish I had.
I don't think the band, if the Pep band maybe had been aware of who was going to be celebrity in, maybe they would have played it. They probably didn't know, though.
One of my favorite things about it, like, Chief recorded a pretty great video of the whole thing because he had great seats. And the amount of obvious awareness was staggering. Like, it was tonight's celebrity letter in, and they say my name. And they say, like, writer and recording artist.
Yes, they call it recording artist. That was the best part.
And they had a whole bio leading into it.
Writer and recording artist Drew Croson. And then they, like, people kind of chant, like, kind of cheer. But then he says, like, writer of the song We've Got Jared. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I know who that is. Like, nobody had a clue who I was.
It's the We've Got Jared guy.
We've Got Jared guy. Absolutely. Because the lady, I was like, are they going to put my name on the screen or something? Because nobody in this building knows who I am. It's like, yeah, they're going to put your name on the screen. And then,
what if they had just announced you by your Twitter handle?
Yeah, they should have. The look on the guy's face.
That would have been great.
Because, sometimes, like, they'll have a replay of the celebrity M when they come back from commercial on ESPN or SEC Network or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's, like, the guy who's filming that is a cameraman who was, like, literally taking a knee in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And the look on his face when they announced who I was or what I was one of, like, I can't believe I filmed this. Because they're like, that crap. Like, no idea. They're not going to put that on the TV.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a cool moment. And just the fact they called you a recording artist is great. The guys behind us asking to have their picture made with you, was pretty funny too.
Really funny. Really funny. That was such a it's been the weirdest ride. And maybe that's the end of it. You know? That's a nice little, like, coda at the end of a pretty hilarious and weird and awesome thing that the Auburn family gave me. Or that a joke that I played on the Auburn family is basically what this is.
Yeah, but it's part of the season. It'll be the part of the season that a lot of people always remember, so
when they bring the team back in 5 years or 10 years or whatever it is, they bring you back too, Crow.
They gotta play it at least. At least play it.
We'll be singing it in the stands.
The next thing I want to toot my own horn on is that I not only did I write We've Got Jared, I was early on the Austin Wiley is Amazing couch, and not everybody. There's still room on it. If you want to come on the Austin Wiley is Amazing couch, I'll make room. It's a comfortable place to be because that dude is awesome.
Just racking up double doubles.
Oh yeah.
What did you say today, Ryan? That he is second in America in defensive rebounding
percentage? Oh, yeah. He's second American in defensive rebounding percentage. He's ninth in offensive rebounding.
Incredible.
And his PER is 31.7.
That's real good.
It's real good.
That's real good for a guy who plays 20 minutes a game.
That's all we need. That's
the crazy thing. He's like, Is he going to get more minutes during conference play, or is this just going to be the plan it all season?
I think the plan is 20 for him, 20 for Anfernee.
That's my biggest question going into conference play is, does Bruce adjust his rotation? Was this rotation he used in non-con just him trying to figure out who's going to play, or is this the actual rotation we're going to see going all the way into March? Because I feel like he's going to tighten it up. I don't think he's going to keep playing 8-9 guys. I really don't.
Whose minutes are going away, though?
Well, I think D'Angelo's minutes are probably going away.
Well, not if he plays like he did last night.
And I think you're going to start seeing less Anfernee. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more Austin, Okoro, Javon, Samir. I think that lineup, those four guys, will get
Much different lineups than we've seen all year against Lipscomb the other night.
We played a lot of Samir at point guard. I noticed that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Samir at point guard.
We're going to see a lot of Devin Cambridge in conference play because he's been getting more minutes, it feels like, every day.
Yep. We played a lot of him and Jamal with Okoro, Samir, and either Austin or Anfernee the other night.
So Isaac really playing the four role.
Right.
And speaking on Anfernee, what's been the deal with him? He's playing as the five, but he's not playing that role on offense. I mean, he's all but abandoned going to the basket on the offensive end. I think he's taken 6 2-point attempts in the last four games.
It's just not efficient, I guess.
Well, no, he's got the best 2-point scoring percentage on the team.
It's because he's not taking a lot of them. When your opportunities are low and you've made most of the ones you've had, I guess that's, I don't know.
He lacks.
I mean, he was earlier in the season. He was shooting a decent amount, and now he's not. He's taking a couple of threes a game, and that's it.
I
don't know if the strategy's different. I mean, I'm sure it's not an accident. I mean, I'm sure there's something going on that's causing this to be the case. I just don't know enough basketball to know what it is, to be honest.
He's just not very aggressive right now.
Yeah.
That's the main.
But is it that, or is it strategy of, well, he's just going to play outside more, and we're going to, I don't know, is it Isaac playing?
He's still a good defender. I think he's
part that, too, because Austin doesn't play outside. So part of it is, if we need a five that can stretch the floor, if Bruce thinks that's what we've got to do, he sends Anfernee in. And so that's kind of Anfernee's role. He's a post that touches the floor. So then,
when he's in the game, it's, hey, we're going to run and try and wear him out.
Exactly.
And then we bring in Austin to just kind of lay on him.
Austin is the Cameron Artis Payne.
Okay.
Or the Cam Pettway of this.
There we go.
Pettway, Kerryon Johnson lineup.
Eric Smith, right?
Yeah. Eric Smith. So you've got a guy who can do a lot in what we would call short yardage if we're going to keep the football scenario.
let's not keep the football scenario going.
You've got a guy who can do a ton of gritty 2-point work. The best way to make that happen is to get the team spread out, the defense spread out, because then it spreads the lane out. So you can get the team spread out by running another guy in there, and then all of a sudden you put him in. It's really a change of pace. And now it makes Austin more effective if Anthony's more effective.
Is the coaching different when he's in the game, though? Is it understood, hey, when Anthony's in there, we're not trying to run the same offense as when Austin's in there?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep moving. Expectations. Before the season, we were all like, we need to just make the tournament. And Ryan asks, with 12 wins in hand, has that changed? And I would answer, no.
No, that's just your baseline goal is to make the tournament. Do I think we can do better than that? Oh yeah, I think so. The SEC is looking a little bit different than I think everybody thought it would. Maybe not quite as strong as we thought, but right. There's a team in Arkansas who is a lot better than people thought they might be, I think. They only have the one loss, so I don't think anybody expected them just to have one loss heading into conference play.
I think Arkansas is really good.
Yeah, I think they may replace Florida as that team that we kind of thought would be a challenger this year. I don't think Florida looks like a mess to me.
And Tennessee's kind of falling apart too.
Yeah, and
Tennessee, LSU, both of them.
Kentucky, you know, they've had some problems, but we all know they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, Kentucky's fine. They just beat Ohio State. I mean,
yeah, I mean they're fine.
Yeah.
Alabama has a little head full of steam headed into conference play too.
Right. Yeah, they got a head full of something, if you ask them.
Yeah. But Auburn is still the best team in the SEC currently. I mean, by record anyway. Kentucky's probably higher than us in net still, even though. Right.
Well, no, weren't we?
Oh,
is net top in net and RPI? I thought we were
six or seventh in net going.
Yeah, it's RPI that we've dropped to third now since the Lipscomb game.
Well, KenPom, I think Auburn and Kentucky are like right there to get. Yeah. Kentucky 14, Auburn 15, and KenPom, and those are the two highest SEC teams.
Wow.
Florida at 24, Arkansas at 32, LSU 37.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think we have a chance to hit tournament play and try to win the conference.
So at this point, what's a bad conference season? Is it 500? Is it 99?
I think you can go 9-9 and we'll still make the tournament.
Right.
So,
right.
I think it would be disappointing if we went 9-9, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Yeah. Because I mean, all just projections wise, so you're looking at the middle of that possible outcomes, Auburn's looking at 11 or 12 wins, and that already puts you at 23-24.
Right.
If the things break the right way, you're looking at one of the best regular seasons Auburn's ever had.
Right. This team is a I want to call them a complete team. They're a well-rounded team.
Right, and they're a good defensive team.
Yes, and that'll take you very far. And we can score, and we have guys that when push comes to shove, they can take over a game. We have more than one guy that can do it. And I think that's going to take us far. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, we're definitely going to win this conference. But I don't know. I'd say the odds are favorable that we do. I'm not a odds expert myself. I'm no James Jones. Maybe he could tell us.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying Auburn or the field, I'm probably saying the field. But if it's Auburn or any other team in particular, I'm probably leaning Auburn at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
And this team is built where we could go pretty deep in the tournament. We've got some good guards. And Samir and Javon's been playing great these last few games. If Dangelo turns it on, we're looking at a team that can do a lot of good this year, and I'm really excited about it, even more excited than I was coming into the season.
Yeah, me too. I think the best bet, I think a disappointing year is finishing fourth in the conference.
Yeah, I'd say that.
But I think anything from third and up is on the table, and I really think there's a chance we either get first or second in the conference, which puts you at a fairly decent seed in the tournament. But I really still think that if we make the tournament at all, this is a successful year.
Exactly.
Even though we started 12-0, I don't think this 12-0 really matters that much.
The only way it can be an unsuccessful year if you make the tournament is if you go Virginia and lose to a 16 seed if you're a 1 seed.
Right.
Right.
And then, hey, maybe you win the national championship the next year.
Ugh.
Oh, boy.
Ugh.
because that's exactly what Crow wants, is to be just like Virginia.
Man, I really hate the way they play basketball.
The air which he is breathing right now.
I'm in Virginia. That's true. In the mountains.
A little more Hokie air than Kevin.
I'm really close to Hokie High. I'm actually like about 2.5 from Charlottesville and about an hour from Blacksburg. I think the closest university to me is probably Liberty, which is a drag.
They lost yesterday.
They did.
So there's only two left.
They did. All right, let's move on to a break real quick. Let's take a break. All right, when we're back, it is 8:25 here on Orange and True. Call us with all your thoughts on the upcoming Auburn-Minnesota game, or at Jack Condon on Twitter. Is that right?
I think it's Jack H. Condon. Is that right?
Oh, Jack H. Condon. That's right. Jack H. Condon on Twitter. Let Jack know what you think about the show. Let's move on to football.
Yeah. Let's do it. Outback Bowl, baby.
Outback Bowl. Everybody excited about the 7-point spread? Is that what I saw?
I'm just excited it's not Wisconsin.
Free money.
Yeah, no joke. I'm fully expecting Minnesota's coach to come out on the field and rip a mask off, and it'd be Barry Alvarez under there when this thing kicks off.
Based on what Minnesota's coach wears on the sideline, I wouldn't be shocked if he came out and ripped his clothes off.
Oh.
Okay. He likes a tight fit.
Who's their coach now?
It's PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What? Row the boat.
Yeah. Right. It used to be. It was Jerry Kiln, right?
Yes.
Jerry Kiln, yeah. And then they had somebody there for a year. I think there was some drama around that. But...
Well, we should win this game. I don't understand why that spread is so close. Maybe just because it's been so long since both teams played a game.
Didn't their offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
He just took off four days ago.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Auburn's offensive coordinator left to go coach as an offensive coordinator at another school in the conference?
Oh,
people would lose their minds.
Oh, yeah. Is Florida State not SEC?
No.
We should
definitely win this. We're talking the talk. There's a lot of talk around it about how we're not going to let this be that. Well, it's a completely different situation than that game. I don't know why people still keep going back to that game. We've talked about this too much on this very podcast, I think, about what was going on with that game. It's a whole different situation. I think the guys are ready. I think we're just the better team. I don't even understand why anyone wouldn't think that, but whatever.
Yeah, Auburn's definitely got the talent advantage here. Even just looking at recruiting rankings, which I know that's not what dictates talent on the field, but if you've heard of the blue chip ratio, where it's teams with more blue chips, higher percentage on their team, it means a lot.
Not even just that. We've got a bunch of seniors, especially on that defensive line. So,
yeah, and is everybody playing?
Yeah. Everyone but Nick Coe, I think.
Okay. So everybody's playing.
Yeah. Yeah. More or less.
So this Minnesota offense, they're going to throw the ball. They've got 2,000 yard receivers, which is kind of crazy. They've got two receivers with over 1,000 yards.
Right.
And they've only thrown for like 2,800 yards as an offense this year.
Wow.
So it is those two receivers.
Oh, well, wow. We shouldn't have a problem then.
Yeah.
Shutting two guys down.
And I think they're like 90th in yards per rush. So like I think we know what's coming.
Who good did this team beat this year?
They lost to Ohio State and Wisconsin, right? They beat Penn State, I think.
I said who good did they beat, Ryan?
Well, okay. I mean, if you're not going to say Penn State's good.
I'm not.
Okay.
That's funny. I think Penn State's pretty good. I think it's been seen that this I think if you look, if you take the pulse of Minnesota fans that I've seen on Twitter and elsewhere on the internet, they don't think they have a chance in this game, which I don't know. Part of me appreciates that, and then part of me is like, they're just also really nice.
Yeah, they were all pretty nice when we were up there, so.
Yeah, I was a real big fan of them.
Yeah. Minneapolis was a not a bad town. Not a bad town.
No, it was a really sweet town. I actually liked, I liked it a lot. Yeah. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this game? Do you think that Auburn's going to be able to get to the quarterback? We haven't really been able to get to the quarterback as much as possible, as much as we wanted to. Is this the game we finally get some sacks?
I mean, I think we'll do all right with it. I think we're going to create a lot of big plays on defense. I don't know if it's going to be sacks or not. I don't think this Minnesota offensive line is going to really be able to hold up Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson. And sure. if that ends up being them having to force a lot of quick plays, I think we've got more speed in the back end than they do.
Right.
Okay. I hear you.
So I think the more interesting matchup is going to be our offense and their defense.
Yeah.
Not because I really like their defense. I mean, I think the better matchup is our defense and their offense. But I'm more curious to see our offense. Is Bo going to be able to have the kind of game that he was showing he could at the end of the year?
Right.
Is he going to make those plays like he did against Alabama?
Yeah, you're looking at this more of a preview for next year than a coda to this year.
Yeah. And Did we ever find out if Chad Morris is actually calling any plays in the bowl game?
I thought Gus said he was going to call the plays.
Yeah, that's what I read. He's calling the plays. Gus is calling the plays.
Oh, it's already back. Who's calling the plays?
But no, because Gus said this. He's going to call this game. But then he and Chad would have a conversation about who's calling the plays for next year.
They're having ongoing conversations about next year. So rest assured, Gus is calling all the good plays in this game.
Absolutely he is. I hope he calls the bad plays too.
I'm sure he will.
Excuse me.
You all right, Ryan?
I was coming off of a 102 fever last weekend. So
oh, man.
I'm feeling great right now, actually.
That's rough, Ryan.
Yeah.
102 fever.
Yeah.
You got anything else to say about this game?
I have something to say about this game.
All right.
P.J. Fleck wears purple pants. I'm looking at a lot of pictures of P.J. Fleck in purple pants.
They're not purple. What?
Well, they're not purple. It's the color of Minnesota.
Oh,
that's a purpley maroon.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not 100% sure I know what these pants are. They're not necessarily slacks. They kind of look like he's wearing like Lululemon loose-fitting yoga pants on the sideline. And then he also wears a tie and a quarter zip. And it's just a look, man. PJ Fleck's a look.
It's interesting. So, it sounds a little bit like if Todd Golden had coached the Minnesota.
Coaching Al Golden?
Yeah, whatever. One of the Golden guys. The guy that was at Miami, the sweaty dude.
Right.
Whatever happened to him?
Remember right? Terry wore a tie for Auburn.
Oh, yeah, he did.
So did Pat Dye, man.
The Bear wore a suit, man.
Man, if Pat Dye was still here, Pat Dye would have won 3 SEC championships. This thing Gus has got in a row. This is my new character that calls into the lunch break.
You workshopping that one?
Yeah. Man, Pat Dye is the best coach we ever had. We need to go back and run the wing tee. We would have won them 3 SEC championships.
I mean, you're going to give Shadow a run for his money.
Gus can't win these big games. Look at it. Lost in the national championship. Didn't have any big games before that. And lost the only big game, 2013. Lost it. Except for the LSU game that year. He lost that one, too. Gus can't win. This is going to be a big game if Gus loses it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see on the Twitter goalpost moving from both sides during this game.
Well, if he loses, it's Gus can't coach bowl games.
Sure.
if he wins, it's who cares?
This game doesn't matter.
Right. All right. That's how that always goes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Can we just hope for another 70-point beatdown?
Absolutely.
Like, that was one of the most fun game days on Auburn Twitter in a long time. It was just every time you look up, oh, yeah, there's another touchdown. Another touchdown.
The best thing is that this game is going to take place right at the beginning of nap time.
Oh, yeah. So I'm gonna be at home with two boys and just me, so that's going to be fun. We'll see how that works out.
I would suggest nap time.
Well, nap time's not until about 2, so.
You just set all the clocks in your house ahead 2 hours.
Alex can't read time, but his body knows.
See, look, Alex, I don't know what to tell you. Clock says 2 o'clock.
All right.
Well, that's all I got to say. This is going to be a short episode.
Crow's got to go give Mrs. Crow a birthday wish.
I will hope to do that.
Jeez, Chief.
Mrs. Crow birthday. That's almost as creepy
as a birthday wish.
Lando, at the end of the newest Star Wars, not to spoil this for everybody, there is a line.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, Ryan, the line I'm going to give you doesn't spoil anything. You know Lando's in the movie because he's on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
But a woman says, I don't know where my family's from. And Lando looks at her and says, well, then let's find out.
See, and no one else in my theater seemed to read it that way. No one was like, I was like,
it was.
I was very, the only one.
That woman was at least 40 years younger than he is.
Chief, real quick, what did you like more, Rise of Skywalker or Mandalorian?
Oh, Mandalorian. Like Mandalorian.
Well, you were down on Mandalorian for a little while.
No, just those 3 episodes in the middle. They were fillery. They somewhat pay off. They're still a little filler. Instead of having filler in each individual episode, they just kind of packed a bunch of filler into 3 episodes. They with differing levels of success in those 3 episodes.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, let's get back together next week or after this bowl game. We'll do some more of this.
We'll talk about beating Klinger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and talk more Star Wars.
All right.
All right.
Have a great New Year's. War Eagle beat Minnesota.
Who knows? All right, I guess Crow's gone. You still there, Ryan?